On this one-year anniversary of George Floyd's killing, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Tashira Garraway Allen of the Twin Cities is a voice for families who haven't gotten justice. Tashira's fiancé, Justin Tigan, died in a police encounter with the St. Paul Police Department in 2009. And to this day, she doesn't know the truth of what occurred. She leads the organization Families Supporting Families Against Police Violence. Tashira, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Tashira, what is coming up for you on this day? What are you feeling, thinking about?
I feel that this day a year ago, the world had a chance to see what many of our families have been living through, enduring for many years prior to George Floyd. There had been almost 500 bodies at the hands of police here in the state of Minnesota in the last 20 years that have lost their loved ones at the hands of law enforcement. And we have been out here fighting prior to George Floyd, and no one heard us. Our stories were swept under the rug, kept quiet, cover up after cover up. And I feel like the truth finally came forward for our families, and it was just a small representation. Even though it was actually a huge representation, but for many of our families, we've had so many brutal, I would say heinous crimes committed against us, and no one really seen it or knew about it. But George Floyd is the face of hundreds of murders here in the state of Minnesota that have been covered up. And thousands around the United States and the world got a chance to see that a year ago.
Tashira, Derek Chauvin, the former officer whose knee pressed against George Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes as he lay handcuffed, pinned to the street, pleading for mercy, couldn't breathe. When Chauvin was found guilty on all counts in April, what did you do?
Well, George Floyd's significant other called me up and said, Tashira, I want you to be there on the day that the verdict is read. I want you to be there with me. So she knows that I lost my significant other, Justin Tigan, in 2009, and also the father of my son at the hands of the police here in Minnesota. And I met her at George Floyd's funeral, and she told me that I met her the same way that she met George Floyd. She met him, she was having an argument or something with someone, and he walked up to her and started praying with her. Well, when I met her at the funeral, I walked up to her once they introduced me, and I put my arm around her, and we started praying. So we met each other. That's how we met each other. So she called me up. We've been talking for this past year and wanted me to be there with her. So we went down to the courthouse, downtown Minneapolis, and they read the verdict. And I remember when the verdict came in that he was guilty, she screamed out George. And when she screamed out his name, she said, George, and I felt it in my heart because, like, I thought of Justin, and I there's so many times when I cried, I just said, Justin, I cried out his name. So when she cried out his name, I knew it was like I felt it in my heart. And we just cried and we hugged together. and we're grateful for the verdict, but it's so much pain that has been inflicted upon our people and upon our community. So we're conflicted on, you know, how we feel because we're still hurting.
You go through the trauma all over again, and justice hasn't been served in so many, including yours. What do you believe happened to Justin Tigan?
Justin was pulled over. They never told us that he originally was pulled over, the police. They told us that he was in a car accident and missing from the scene of a accident. We found out later that he was, in fact, pulled over. We also was told a different location of where the incident happened. We found out later the truth of where it actually happened. When we walked into the mortuary, Justin's skull was cracked in half. He had dog bites on his body. His wrist was detached from his arms. His eyeballs were punched in. And it was clear that a beating took place. Prior to that, a week before, they had pulled him over for no reason. They towed his car, had no liable cause, had to end up releasing his car and everything, but they beat him up, was punching him and everything a week before. But we noticed with a lot of the men that they kill, it's a trail of harassment and everything prior to them being murdered. I noticed that with a lot of the cases, Jamar Clark, Ferlando. So anyway, once we had all of these answers that were conflicting from the police, as well as we could see that Justin was clearly beaten, by the way, his head was so big and cracked in half. We could see that he had handcuffs on. His wrist was detached from his arms or his hand, like the wrist in between with the handcuffs on. We could see that. So we had questions. At that point, we wanted to see the videos from the surveillance in the local area. The local area let us know that the police had already came and picked up those videos. When we did get a chance to watch the videos, which they stalled for months, and we were never allowed by the actual police department to watch the videos. It was the woman who did the autopsy. So we were denied that right as a mourning, hurting family that just wanted the truth. So we then, the lady who did the autopsy told the police that she needed a copy of the video to conclude his cause of death. And we watched a video that was clearly edited once they catch Justin. So we watched them catch him on the video, and then it goes blank right in that moment. The video goes blank, and when it comes back in, everyone is gone. So we all watched this video, myself, his mother, her husband, and his best friend. We all watched this video, and we started screaming because we were like, why did it go blank? Why did it go blank in that moment? And since then, we have received harassment. We've been followed. They've sat outside of my home. They've sat outside of Justin's mother's home. When I would never forget, I came out of a store. I put my three-year-old in the car, and the officer rolled his window down, and he just waved at me, letting me know, I know who you are. I have lived in complete fear of my own life for stepping out and telling the truth, speaking against what's going on. But I can't continue to not fight because I'm afraid.
Tashira, I want to jump in here for just a moment and reintroduce you. We're talking with Tashira Garraway Allen, who leads the Minnesota organization. It's called Families Supporting Families Against Police Violence. You can join in. How will you recognize today? How would you suggest or wish others to mark this day? Did the guilty verdict in the Chauvin case mark a turning point? Are you confident that justice will be served? 800-642-1234. Tashira, your organization, Families Supporting Families Against Police Violence, you have been holding events at the Capitol, elsewhere. What are you hearing from these events? What are they producing?
I hear that people are thankful that we are, because the whole point to the events that family support and families have, the reason why we have them, is to help give a platform to the other families that stories you may not have heard of, that have been swept under the rug or covered up. I've lived literally a cover-up, you know, of a murder by the police. So I know the importance and I know the pain that the families go through from watching the cases that did get out and people scream George Floyd and all those names, which is awesome because those names deserve that. But it's so hurtful and hard for the families that their loved ones' truth, no one knows it, you know. And so I work diligently, as well as other people within my organization, to give a platform to those families. And so what I'm hearing from the community is that their eyes are being even more opened, you know, because when you hear only about George Floyd or Philando Castile, that minimizes the severity of the truth of what's really happening. It's a severe problem here in the state of Minnesota. These, I would say, are modern-day lynchings, and they're happening at the hands of our law enforcement. And I'm grateful that the truth, George Floyd, death, unfortunately, he lost his life, but it created a door for the rest of our families that have been out here suffering. That door was cracked open for us, and we finally can come forward in a way. People are listening more now than they were listening before, and their eyes are more open than they were before.
We're listening to Tashira Garraway Allen, leads the Minnesota organization called Families Supporting Families Against Police Violence. Does Tashira's story echo or call to mind what you've experienced or witnessed in an encounter with law enforcement? How do you feel in this one-year anniversary? What has changed? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 1 year removed from the killing of George Floyd by a white police officer, we're reflecting on the history of violence against people of color and the protests that renewed a global movement against police brutality and systemic racism. We're opening up the lines for you to reflect on this anniversary today, the anniversary of the murder of George Floyd at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer. How has that event changed your thinking about police and how policing is in America? Have you taken part in protests against police brutality over the last year? How have you been reflecting on the last year? 800-642-1234. And we have Tashira Garraway Allen, who leads the organization Family Supporting Families Against Police Violence, and she's in the Twin Cities with us for about 10 more minutes. Tashira, I'm wondering about bystander video and the teenager, Darnella Frazier, who took the video of George Floyd on her phone, because initially police gave a misleading account of Floyd's death and the case might not have received, you know, the attention it did. What is the impact of bystanders?
I believe that what you said is true, is that if it was not a bystander there that went Facebook Live and the video did not go viral all over the world, that they would have been able to cover up George Floyd's murder like they've done hundreds of families, literally hundreds of families here in the state of Minnesota. We know that if this system, if the police department could have gotten a hold of that video footage in time, George Floyd's family would just be like the rest of our families. Sitting here trying to fight for justice some way, somehow, to get the truth out, pleading for the videos. They would be going through the exact same thing. The only difference is, that there was a bystander there that went Facebook Live. It spread entirely too fast for them to stop it, because if they could have stopped it, you better believe they would. But they couldn't, because it was on Memorial Day. You know, it was a holiday. People don't get into the offices until the next day. And it just, it spiraled. It went Facebook Live. It was live in the moment. They couldn't destroy it. We watched it from the beginning to the end. You know, unlike Philando, who did go Facebook Live as well, but we didn't. We seen the officer standing there with the gun and Philando bleeding out, but we didn't see it from beginning to the end. And so I'm just very grateful that for the bystander that was there. I'm so sad and hurt that it was a young child, because that young child has to endure the thought of that murder for the rest of her life. That's traumatizing. This is what our children have to witness, our babies, the people that are supposed to be protecting and serving, coming into the community, adding to the pain, adding to the crimes, and committing murders.
Tashira, I'm wondering, how do you regard the protests from last summer? Where do you see the voices, and are they being heard?
I believe that as far as the protest is concerned, I believe that the community is coming more together. People from all walks of life, all nationalities are coming together. We've seen the truth, you know, and the truth is coming out about even more families at this point. So I believe that the community itself, besides some white supremacist groups and Ku Klux Klan groups and things like that, but other than that, I think it's more good people than it are of the people that's still holding this hatred and all this kind of stuff for other human beings. But we're coming together. As far as the people in the political seats here, I think that we're still not being heard the way we should. I think that we are somewhat demanding that things change, because lives are on the line. People, Dante Wright got killed before we could even finish the trial for George Floyd. You know what I mean? So I think that the people in the political seats here, someone named Warren Limmer, he's holding up the bills that need to pass for police accountability to save more lives. So the laws that permit this to happen can change a little bit. But the people in the political seats need to hear from the impacted families more and have our voices at the table, because we know what needs to change. So the people here need to do better in the political seats.
Tashira Garraway-Ellen, who leads the Minnesota organization called Families Supporting Families Against Police Violence. Tashira, along those lines, more than 30 states, dozens of large cities have created new rules limiting police use of force. A couple of the common changes: banning chokeholds like the kind Chauvin used, requiring police officers to intervene when a fellow officer uses extreme force. How must policing change?
Well, first of all, I want to say, when you speak about all of the other states that are doing these things, I think that's really sad, because here in Minnesota, George Floyd was killed. This is the epicenter. This is where it happened. But yet we are falling behind so many other states. We are failing. The world is watching Minnesota fail. And that's really sad, because there's a clear indication that there is a problem, a severe problem here in the state of Minnesota. the highest, the biggest profile cases in history have come from the state of Minnesota. George Floyd, Jamar Clark, Philando Castile, Dante Wright. It's clear, the proof is in the pudding, that it's something going terribly wrong here. And for every high-profile case that you hear of, there's 100 bodies behind that. In the last 20 years, there's been over 470 murders that have been reported. This is data. This is proven data.
Well, Tashira, let me ask you this, though. How can police officers both prevent crime and act in less violent ways so they don't kill as many people in doing their jobs?
The way that they can do that is, we know the truth. A lot of this stuff, and let's just be honest, is rooted in white supremacy and white privilege. These are literally, if you heard the stories, the true stories, and I understand that there are certain people that this has never happened to, but I know that they even hurt poor white people. This is an economic and a cultural minority thing. The way that they can do that is starting to treat human beings like human beings and to prevent crime, go after the real crime, but don't go out there in the community and pin a man down to the ground that says he can't breathe and won't let him up. You're adding to the crime. Don't go and beat someone to death like they did my son's father, Justin Tigan, beat him to death and throw his body in a dumpster. They beat my son's father to death and threw his body inside of a trash dumpster. That is a crime. Don't abuse your authority.
Tashira, we're out of time. Thank you for allowing us to listen, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Tashira Garraway Allen leads the organization called Families Supporting Families Against Police Violence. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.